This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner for Laurent Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby. Gone Runner wins Going Away.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
And Moore Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Destin and Creator, these two come down to the line together. Too close to goal. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Baron and the Pontiff. That is Mike Penna and Jude Feld with you once again on a simply spectacular morning in Saratoga Springs, New York. We are, just as we were last Saturday, positioned about 30 yards from this historic main track, and temperatures right now hovering right around that upper 70 mark, but we are on our way to a gorgeous day with temperatures in the low to mid 80s. Should be a fast main track for the running of the Jim Dandy later today, which is one of four graded stakes races on the program. What an afternoon of racing, not only here in Saratoga, but around the country. Of course, at Del Mar, you have big races out there, including Champion Beholder, and tomorrow in New Jersey, you have the Haskell Invitational featuring Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist, Preakness winner Exaggerator, all kinds of storylines, all kinds of angles. We're going to talk about all of them over the course of the next 2 hours for you. And we do want to extend a very special welcome to everyone joining us throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Good morning, JT.
Good morning. It's a fantastic morning here at Saratoga. Kind of sleepy today. Not a lot of people out. Everybody's milling around. People are still in line getting coffee. It's just one of those mornings. It's a little bit overcast. Everybody's just relaxed and not as many people out on the apron as we usually see at this time of day.
Yeah, it's Saratoga, and people do tend to rise a bit later at times.
Necessarily
because of
so,
what happened probably the night before,
yes.
Potentially.
And we were out last night, and there were a lot of people out and about in town and otherwise. And, you know, it's a party town. It's a party racetrack. And so I think this morning there's some after effects going on.
This is such a special day for us here on the network. We are very, very proud to tell you about our brand new endeavor, which kicks off this afternoon. Not only will you hear the Jim Dandy, the A.G. Vanderbilt, and the Bowling Green in English with Jude and I later today, beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern, but you will also be able to tune in to those races, 2 hours of coverage, two and a half actually, in Spanish with the all-new HRRN en Español, Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma, and Hall of Fame jockey Ramon Dominguez, all going to be part of that coverage this afternoon beginning at 4 o'clock, HRRN en Español.
Yeah, very cool. Very excited to be a part of that, and our crew is outstanding. We got guys that really know their stuff about racing, and of course, Ramon Dominguez, can't say enough about him. Very classy guy, great rider, and due to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So our Spanish-speaking listeners throughout the world can tune in, and we've had tremendous response from other countries. Venezuela, very, very excited yeah. to be able to hear these races down there, and so it's going to be great.
You bring a guy like Ramon Dominguez into the mix with that coverage team, and we're so thankful that Ramon was able to sit in with Eloy and with Roberto later today because he brings so much to the table. Obviously, a guy who is simply brilliant, was a tremendous rider. He'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame here in Saratoga in a couple of weeks. But we were talking with him yesterday during the production meeting. Some of the things he was bringing up, Jude, I didn't know. It was great.
Yeah, no, he's a very smart guy, and you only have to talk to him for about 3 minutes before you figure out that he's not your typical rider. He's a very, very cerebral guy. He's always thinking, and he's also entrepreneurial. He's very much a businessman, and he's always looking for opportunities, and he's very excited to be a part of the coverage and looking forward to that.
You're going to hear from Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy as they both join us later in the program right around 9:20 Eastern time. You'll kind of get to meet our HRN and Espanol team right here this morning on the Equine Forum. You're also going to hear from trainer Kieran McLaughlin coming up after our first commercial break this morning. He, of course, sends out the extremely talented Mohamen later today in the Jim Dandy right here at Saratoga. He's going to square off with the 1-2 finishers in the Belmont Stakes. That's Creator and Destin. And Jude, they were only separated by a nose that day in the mile and a half test. A little different scenario for both of those horses today going a mile and an eighth.
Yeah, it's a very interesting race. You have a lot of different factors in play. You got horses coming off a rest. You got horses that got in trouble. Even though it's a short field, it's a very interesting handicapping puzzle.
Of course, Kieran coming up first, then Javier Castellano will join us at 8:35 Eastern, at least not live on the program, but we did catch up with him yesterday at the Oklahoma training track, and we asked him about Destin, and he talked about coming here maybe having a bit of a tactical advantage because he does have some tactical speed. It's a much smaller field than he faced in the Belmont, which works to his advantage, at least you would think. Only six horses in today's Jim Dandy. Javier is going to tell you all about that and a potential strategy that he might employ to get the victory later today.
Yeah, well, you know, the speed is always a major factor, and it's the universal track bias, as Andy Beyer so eloquently put it a long, long time ago. And a horse with speed in a short field is very dangerous.
2016 Hall of Fame inductee trainer Steve Asmussen took the time to catch up with us at his barn yesterday morning. And, matter of fact, he just made his way to the rail to watch a couple of horses work, standing right in front of us now. Steve's interview is going to come your way at 9 o'clock Eastern time. He'll talk about Belmont winner Creator. He'll talk about Gunrunner, who goes in the Haskell at Monmouth tomorrow. Some great stuff from Steve coming up 9 o'clock Eastern time. We mentioned Roberto and Eloy at 9:22. And at the end of the program, JT, hey, look, our listeners can't complain today. We have them covered coast to coast because at the end of the program, you're going to hear from Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens, who sat down for an interview with us yesterday afternoon. He talks about Champion Beholder coming up later today in the Clement L. Hirsch at Del Mar.
Yeah, I was going to say you should have saved the best for last because I did the Kieran interview, but I was with you for the Gary Stevens interview, and that was really good too. So looking forward to that. So everybody's going to enjoy listening to all of our guests because the stuff that they gave us was fantastic, and it's going to be a great show.
Mixed into the middle of all of this here on the program. It doesn't stop with Gary Stevens. Mixed into the middle, right around 8:50 Eastern time, we're going to hear from the little A, Acacia Courtney, former Miss Connecticut, who now works with us here on the network. She also works doing TV work at Gulfstream Park. She's going to join us because she and Anthony Stabile, the big A, will be at Monmouth tomorrow afternoon to bring you coverage of the Haskell at 4 o'clock Eastern time. So she'll join us to talk about the Haskell and get us set for that broadcast tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, she's actually at Monmouth, or maybe not this early, I don't know. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to actually drive down there and go to the races for a change.
Yeah, you're going to be a fan.
I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to go see my man Doug O'Neill.
Who loves you.
And I love him.
Not in a weird way. As he said.
That's right. So going to go down there and watch that race. It's a very good race, very exciting, and it'll be fun to be down there for that.
All right, a couple of shout-outs to our sponsors who made that coverage possible later today. Our HRN and Espanol coverage of all the big races presented by Gulfstream Park, and, of course, all of our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage every single Saturday throughout the meet presented by visitbarbados.org. All right, Pontiff, the poll question for today before we get to our first break and then Kieran coming up after the break. The poll question, I thought we'd do something different today. It's a non-horse racing poll question. We had dinner at our house the other night. It was you, me, my wife, Michelle, and Larry Colmus, right? And we cooked some steaks. We had some mushrooms. We had a couple other little things mixed in there. And then we had some corn on the cob. And I thought it was fascinating because this is a question I ask every time I'm having corn on the cob with a group of people. Do you eat corn on the cob going around the cob or going across from side to side? Okay? So that's the poll question today. How do you eat your corn on the cob? Do you go around or do you go across? I thought it was a perfect question for the middle of the summer.
I think it's an excellent question.
Yeah. How do you eat? We want to hear from you, HRN Nation. How do you eat your corn on the cob? How do you approach it? Right? Because I was shocked. I'm always the only one at the table who goes around. Right? And I looked over at you, and you're going around. Mm-hmm. I looked over at Colmus, and Larry Colmus, the voice of racing in Thoroughbred Racing, mm-hmm. and here at Saratoga, goes around.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
We all go around.
We just keep going around and around, around.
Just like the horses.
After a few glasses of rum, we keep going even more. Yeah, it was crazy. But, yeah, honestly, it was really cool because I've never seen anybody else go around when I've been at the table with them. Everybody
really?
Always goes across. I want to see if more people eat it going around or if they go across in HRN Nation.
Do you start at the big end or do you start at the little end?
You know, I always start at the big end.
Yeah, so do I.
I always do and work my way down toward the – and then you get down to the end. There's only a couple of little – I still get them all, though.
It's sweeter down towards the end.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe it does get a little sweeter. Yeah.
The closer the bone, the sweeter the meat.
All right. You can weigh in on that poll question at HRRN on our Twitter feed right now. Of course, you want to hit us up on Facebook. You can do that, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. And don't forget to visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for all of the information on all of this weekend's programming. And, yeah, at the top of the website now, there's a Listen Live button, and right next to it, Escuchar en vivo for the Spanish broadcast.
Oh, I love it when you speak Spanish.
HRRN. Did I get it right?
I think you did.
Yeah. All right, we're back with more on the Equine Forum. Kieran's coming up next on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious two-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a three-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million, Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, with the yearling sales fast approaching, we offer Fall of the Hammer coverage to buyers for their auction purchases.
Why is Fall of the Hammer so important?
When the auctioneer drops the gavel and the buyer signs a sales slip, ownership transfers. There is an immediate exposure to the buyer for the purchase price. By calling our office prior to the sale, we can arrange for immediate protection, so there is no gap in coverage.
Are there any other exposures?
Absolutely. There is liability exposure in the event the yearling should cause bodily injury or property damage to others. An equine owner's liability policy will provide just the right coverage. It's stuff like this that keeps me awake at night.
Thanks, Joe, for speaking with us today. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Zulu and Mohamed have run three quarters in 111 flat, and they're coming to the top of the stretch of the Fountain of Youth. Fellowship is trying to come and get them from third, and they're into the stretch, and it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu. Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away. And Mohamed remains unbeaten, winning the Fountain of Youth over Zulu. And then it was Fellowship, followed by Awesome Speed.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth Stakes at Gulfstream Park back on February 27th. Mohamed, impressive in victory that day. As a matter of fact, it was his fifth consecutive victory to begin his career. He would come back to finish fourth in the Florida Derby behind eventual Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist. Ran a pretty good race in the Derby. Actually finished fourth in the Derby, only beaten 4.5 lengths. And JT, he's a horse that is not going to be 100-1 in today's Jim Dandy, like 1930 Travers winner Jim Dandy, who upset Gallant Fox that year. That's why this race is named in honor of Jim Dandy.
Yeah, but, who wasn't exactly the greatest horse that ever lived. He might have beat Gallant Fox, but he ran 141 times in his career. And the last, he raced till he was 12. The last 4 years, he never finished in the money in four straight years. Yet he's got one of the biggest races at Saratoga named after him.
For those who cashed at 100-1, they don't care.
Well, they're long gone. That money's been spent many times over.
Well, Kieran doesn't have to worry about being 100-1 with Mohamed today. He's a horse that's going to be one of the contenders, one of the likely winners of today's Jim Dandy. Some people throughout the week said, hey, you know what? He's the one to beat in this year's Jim Dandy. And maybe it's because of the fact that Kieran, well, everything he saddles here at Saratoga just seems to win.
Well, he's hotter than Grandma on a Saturday night. There's no question about it. I mean, this guy is en fuego, winning at a 70% clip. He's got a bunch of live horses in today. And you know, I mean, you go to his barn, and you see he's got a lot of horses, but he thinks he can't hold a candle to Pletcher and Brown. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you had the opportunity yesterday morning to sit down and visit with Kieran, and here's what he had to say on that topic and talking about Mohamed.
We're here with Kieran McLaughlin, one of my favorite trainers. We go back a long ways, back to the Dwayne Lucas days. Kieran, at the beginning of the meeting, everybody was talking about the big fight between Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher for leading trainer. Look who's ahead in the standings right now.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. Everything has to just fall right, and it has for us. You know, like stay on the turf when you need it to. No rain, get in the races when you enter. But we brought a lot of live horses. We have quite a few more live horses, but we've been very fortunate to win 7 of 10 of our first runners.
Yeah, and it's not just the Godolphin horses. You won a race for Zilla Racing yesterday, one of your smaller clients, so that's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And then we had Everett Dobson and Ramona Bass, too. They won one and three, a couple for Shadwell. So it's going great, yes. It's been a fabulous meet so far, and hopefully the stake races now will come next because we haven't run any stakes.
Do you think it's a big edge to have the horses up here at Green Tree and getting them ready up here? They're almost Saratoga residents.
Yes, it has been a privilege to be here early and an advantage. Not sure why this year because it hasn't rained or anything where people can't train on the main track, but it has been an advantage to be working back at Green Tree and right-handed. A lot of our horses have been working right-handed back there. So it's a slice of heaven back there. It's great for people and horses.
When you work the horses right-handed, it kind of gives them a little vacation from using their other lead. Do you think that really helps them mentally or physically?
Yeah, more physically than mentally probably, because it seems like you always, their issues seem to be left front and right hind. So when you change directions, it balances them out a little bit. So it definitely helps.
Well, it's been a great meet, and now we're on the cusp of Mohamed coming back. This was a horse on everybody's lips all Derby season. He looked like he might be the one, and then came to the Florida Derby as the odds-on favorite. Didn't run so well. Didn't run bad in the Kentucky Derby, but you gave him a little time off. How's he been doing?
Great. You know, I wish he would have put on a little more weight. We like our horse to carry more weight, but he actually has the last couple of weeks starting to put on a little more weight, and he's training great. He's a really neat horse, and there's only six runners. We don't have to try and go through 20 of them this time. So we hope he wins and moves on to bigger and better things.
It's a short field. How do you envision the pace, and where do you think he'll be early on?
Yeah, it's interesting because it looks like there's a little bit of pace and we'll be close. We won't be too far away. I kind of look at it like the Remsen, maybe laying second or third, and just hope that he has plenty of horse in junior and able to move when he wants. And I feel like he's the best horse, so we just need to have a good trip and a good showing tomorrow to move on to the Travers.
Junior's pretty hot, and you guys have a great rapport. Why does he fit Mohamed so well?
Yeah, he got lucky to get on in his first start of his life, actually, because it was Pennsylvania Derby Day and a lot of the jockeys were gone. Irad had worked him once or twice, but he was away that day. So once Junior rode him and won on him, we weren't going to change. So he won three yesterday, Junior. We're happy that he's on a good roll, and he fits the horse well, and he has a lot of confidence in him.
Have you seen any particular changes in the last couple months as he's been getting ready for this race?
No, like I said, he's always trained great. He's done everything right since we got him last year. So I don't see anything, and that's a plus. So you don't want anything negative. And he's doing great, worked weekly, and he's doing very well. I think, if anything, he slowed down a little bit in his training. He was pretty revved up at Churchill with all the traffic on a mile racetrack, and that was part of the reason to take him to Green Tree. We can do whatever we want back there. There's no traffic. So that has helped him. And then on the main track, even, he's been quieter. And Rob Massey's getting on him now. He was in Dubai through the spring. So, Miguel was getting on him. So we switched exercise riders. I think it's helped him.
How about schooling him here? Has he handled the paddock okay?
Yeah, we haven't schooled him much because he doesn't need a school. He's so smart and classy. We did take him to the gate once or twice. He's been great. So all systems are go, no excuses.
One last question. What are your chances of being leading trainer here? You got enough bullets?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if we keep batting 70%, yes, we can be leading trainer. But we would have to do that to be leading trainer because I think we'll have half as many starts as Todd and Chad.
Thanks for being with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, he's going to have to keep up that clip. He's not wrong about that, JT, but you know what? The way he's going right now, who would doubt Kieran?
Well, you know, it's always better to be surprised than disappointed, and that's an old George Hollander line, one of the great jockey agents of all time, used to handle Don Pierce's book. And it's one of those things where, he's got a lot of horses. And he's got a lot of live horses, like you said. So, you know, if he keeps it up. And the thing about Chad Brown is he's running 3-4 in every race.
Right.
So they're not all going to win.
Right.
And then, you know, Todd is Todd. I mean, Todd's always got bullets. So, I don't know. I'm really rooting for him. I hope he pulls it off. It would be cool.
How about Mohamed today in the Jim Dandy? Obviously, he has to face Belmont winner Creator, who is making his first start since that victory. Has to square off with Belmont runner-up and Tampa Bay Derby winner Destin. Do you see Mohamed as being, you know, one of the top contenders in this race today?
Oh, yeah. Well,
even off the layoff?
Yeah, you don't need to be a genius handicapper to figure he's got a chance. I think the layoff's actually going to help him. You know, he just, to me, he kind of ran out of juice at the end of his campaign there. And, you know, he didn't run badly in the Derby, but I think listening to Kieran, talk about the way he is more relaxed up here, and he's been able to do some nice and easy things with them at Green Tree. I think that's all going to help him because, you know, and Kieran said himself, he goes, I think he's the best horse in the race, mm-hmm. You know, and that's a big plus. I mean, anytime you're the best horse in the race, and I realize that's one man's opinion and he's close to the scene, but, you know, Mohamed's a really, really nice horse.
And his only real poor effort was in the Florida Derby, and that was on a quirky track. Remember, we got the rain, and then it was drying out. It was listed as good when he went to the post, but it was a funky racetrack that day.
Very funky, and we found out that this horse really doesn't like it
like that. I mean, he likes a nice fast track, which he's going to get today, it seems like. And, you know, I think you have to give him some consideration. It's a tough race. I mean, anybody could win it.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know if anybody. What about Race Me Home, who's going to be a long shot in here? And you won, last time out second in the easy goer. You have Lauban, who has never won anything yet. He's 0-7.
Yeah, he's probably not going to win.
Right. So, I mean, there's six horses, right? So it's hard to say that there's a couple in here it's hard to make a case for. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I mean, the horse I like is Governor Malibu, you know, just handicapping wise, because he's he had all that trouble. He should have won the Belmont Stakes, in my opinion. I just thought the ride was hideous, and that happens sometimes. But he's got tactical speed. He seems like he's a pretty good horse. His numbers are outstanding. I think with a clear trip, he's going to be very tough. But you look at the horses that were on the Triple Crown Trail, the ones that contested. A lot of races, Mohaman and Destin, and, you know, are they tired? That's the big question. Have they had enough? You know, I think Leoban's in that category too. I mean, he was, you know, kind of getting his head jerked off mm-hmm. in a couple of races, and, you know, Creator won the Belmont hard fought, race there. So a horse like Race Me Home, I mean, he's lightly raced. His numbers are okay. His last race in the easy goer was good. He finished second, got a 99 Brisnet speed figure, which is, you know, just a point behind Governor Malibu and a few points behind Destin. You know, same figure that Mohaman got in the Kentucky Derby. But, yep. You know, I mean, I don't think he's totally out of it. I mean, I wouldn't throw a line through him, you know. And then, you know, Creator, he's going to come from the clouds. This pace scenario does not suit him. You know, a mile and an eighth race with a horse that has really basically zero early speed. We'll see. He would probably of the fancy horses, so to speak, he would be my least favorite.
Well, speaking of Creator and speaking of Mohaman, who we just discussed a moment ago, got a text as we were coming on the air today at 8:00 Eastern from Michael Herndon from Gainesway, and he said, all the HRN fans are tuning in. So I know Michael's listening, and Creator and Mohaman, both sons of their stallion Tappet. So Tappet well represented with a third of the field in today's Grade 2 Jim Dandy.
There's no question about that. And, you know, one's going to be up close and one's coming from the clouds, so it's actually kind of a good Tappet uncoupled entry.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky. Go see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and all the great folks. They're horse people, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry in central Kentucky. Go see them. It's the Lexus store of Lexington. We're going to have that segment coming up in a moment, but a quick update on our poll question today. Non-horse racing related, the question of the day, how do you eat your corn on the cob? Do you go around like the Baron and the Pontiff, or do you go across like a typewriter? And I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed right now. Across like a typewriter is ahead 58-42%.
Well, that's close.
Well, not really, is it? I guess it is. I'm just disappointed that there aren't more people that go around like you and I. How about this? Spa Infield Goose tweeted to us and said, I'm a bird. I peck it off the ground. I haven't tried that move yet, but with my nose, I might be able to.
That's a classic.
With this beak, I might be able to pull that move off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
All right, this is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. It's brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We'll come back. We'll hear from jockey Javier Castellano, who's aboard Destin. He'll talk about him in the Jim Dandy coming up right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
It was a hot, sticky day in mid-May at Pimlico. The suburban Baltimore Thoroughbred plant and a huge crowd was on hand to take in the 81st renewal of the run for the Black-Eyed Susans, the Preakness. It was 1957, and then Vice President Richard Milhouse Nixon was but one of the vast throng in attendance. Mrs. Nixon, Pat, was to present the trophy, the Woodlawn Vase, to the winning connections. There was a field of 7 3-year-olds going postward to contest the event run over a distance of 1 3/16 miles. It figured to be a battle between three main contestants Iron Liege, who'd won that year's edition of the Derby a couple of weeks earlier in the Spangles of Calumet Farm. Bold Ruler, who'd gone post-suit in the Derby as the 6-5 favorite but had run poorly. And Federal Hill, a speed horse who figured to do well on Pimlico's fast track with the sharp returns and short run to the wire. Also in the field were Inswept, who had won the Spalding Low Jenkins and the Chesapeake, both at Laurel. Promised Land, who had won the Governor's Gold Cup at Bowie, and run second to Mr. Jive in the Gotham, but had finished third to both Bull Ruder and Gallant Man in the Wood Memorial at Jamaica. Nah Hiss was also in the field, but appeared overmatched, although he had won three straight allowance races. And Inside Tract, who had never faced stakes horses and had been claimed for $7,500 and $12,500. One of the critical factors in the race was the post positions, and the race may very well have been won right at the break from the gate, as it turned out. The inside threesome, Inswept, Nah Hiss, and Promised Land were notoriously slow breakers. Iron Liege had the four-hole, Bold Ruler was five, Inside Tract at post six, and the pure speed in the race, Federal Hill, on the extreme outside. Bull Ruler was a noted fast breaker, and Federal Hill would have to cross over on the entire field to get to the front, if indeed he could. At post time, Iron Liege was 6-5, Bull Ruler 7-5, Federal Hill 7-1. Heady Eddie Arcaro was aboard Bull Ruler, and when the latch was dropped, he shot Bull Ruler to the front, and as expected, Federal Hill was right there with him. Federal Hill had a half length on Bull Ruler as they went to the clubhouse turn, but Arcaro would not let Federal Hill buy to gain a clear lead. That forced Federal Hill to lose precious ground and gave Arcaro and Bull Ruler the fence, so to speak, to save real estate. They ran together on around the turn and onto the backside. Midway down the backstretch, Federal Hill gave up the chase, and it was Iron Liege under Bill Hartack laying third, just off the early fractions, waiting to make one big move. As they went to the far turn, Hartack dropped his mount down a notch and began to move on Iron Liege, but Arcaro would have none of that and cranked Bull Ruler up a notch to continue to hold the length and a half lead. Iron Liege tried again at the top of the straight, but Bull Ruler turned back that challenge as well. Arcaro went to the whip down Pimlico's short stretch and drove Bull Ruler to the wire, a two-length winner. After the race, Arcaro said he had pretty much given Bull Ruler his head, as opposed to keeping him wrapped up as he had done in the early part of the Derby. Hartack offered no excuses for Iron Liege's effort. Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the trainer of Bull Ruler, had used a cunning little trick on Bull Ruler. He had put a piece of string on the bit of Bull Ruler to ease the pressure on his cheek. In actuality, the race had been decided right at the start, for all practical purposes, when Bull Ruler and Federal Hill rocketed from the gate in front of Iron Liege. It all happened on a hot, sticky Saturday afternoon in mid-May at Pimlico, in the 81st Preakness, when Bold Ruler gained sweet revenge for that year's Derby loss.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Millridge is offering three quality yearlings by leading sires at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale, two by Candy Ride and one by Uncle Mo, with the dam side providing every opportunity to raise a racehorse. Since 2005, Millridge has offered 51 yearlings, with 64% winners, 4.5% of those grade 1s or grade 2s. Millridge has raised or sold 33 grade 1 winners since 2000, including 7 Breeders' Cup winners and 5 Horse of the Years. Visit Millridge.com to learn more. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the mat mile.
Passion.
California Grown laboring late. Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Performance.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Gainesway Stallion Tap It, a two-time champion sire, and once again number one in 2016. More than $3 million clear on the general sire list, with 21 graded stakes horses and 8 graded stakes winners this year, including Belmont Stakes Hero and Gainesway sales graduate Creator, and Frosted, a 14.5 length winner of the Grade 1 Met Mile. 13 yearlings by Tappet have been cataloged to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale this August. Colts, fillies, graded stakes winners at any distance. Tap It, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Destin and Castellano, they'll take first run at the leader as they turn for home 3/16 of a mile to run. Brody's Cause still has about 12 lengths to make up. Lannery swings into the outside, but he's still far back, a furlong to run. These two will dispute it. Destin on the outside, Outwork is there toward the grave, and they're locked in battle down to the wire. It's Destin on the outside. He's going to better the two. Destin, Outwork, very gamely for second. 5 lengths farther back, Star Hill third. Rafting was fourth. Brody's Cause off the board as the favorite. Running time on the board, 142.82 in the Tampa Bay Derby.
And that final running time, a new track record for Destin in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby back on March 12th. He would come back under Javier Castellano to finish a game sixth in the Kentucky Derby, and then second, beaten just a nose at the wire by Creator in the Belmont in his most recent outing. He is back in action later today against Creator in a great rematch right here at the Spa in the Grade 2 Jim Dandy. We'll have that coverage for you right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And yes, you can tune in both in English and in Spanish for the full broadcast. You can do that by visiting our website, horseracingradio.net. And, of course, our English coverage is going to be available on Sirius XM Channel 93 as well as on our website, JT.
Yeah, that's very exciting, and looking forward to that. Also looking forward to talking to our analysts in a few minutes.
Yeah, Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma, Ramon Dominguez is going to join that broadcast later today as well. So you won't want to miss it. Tell all of your friends all over the world who are horse racing fans and that they're Spanish-speaking horse racing fans that they can now tune in to HRN's coverage in Spanish starting today, 4 o'clock Eastern, HRRN. In Espanol, check out our website, horseracingradio.net, for more information on that program. All right, jockey Javier Castellano sat down with Jude and I yesterday. Matter of fact, I caught up with him on the Oklahoma training track right after he worked Catherine Sophia, who was a Kentucky Oaks winner from this past year. Got a chance to catch up with Javier, got a chance to ask him all about being aboard Destin in today's Jim Dandy and what strategy he might employ in his six-horse field.
Let's start by looking back on that Belmont Stakes. What a performance by Destin that day.
It really was. I'm very satisfied the way he did it. Kind of disappointed a little bit. Those big races, you want to you know, you want to get a dump. And he did. I mean, he tried to do the best he can, and I tried to slow down the pace, and everything set up perfect. And I was, I think, the other horse, and he tried to dictate the pace and just follow him. Turn off home, I thought I was sanctioned and kind of win the race. And I see the other horse, he come from way back. He just a nail in the wire. Things happen that way. Sometimes can go my way, sometimes different ways, like it happened before. But I'm very satisfied the way he did it. It was a great before. You don't see too many horses. He go mile and a half, and he carried the distance. He did. I mean, very impressed.
And you knew that other horse was coming? You could tell?
I didn't know, but the 16 pole, you don't see. But it just went, turned around. That horse was right there. I mean, those things you don't see too many of it when the horse is defending the way he did it.
And of course, we're talking about Creator, who you get a rematch with Saturday in the Jim Dandy. That's a much different scenario, though. It's a mile and an eighth, not a mile and a half. Six-horse field, not a big field like you had to deal with in the Belmont Stakes. Does that work to your advantage?
I think so. I believe so. I think it's going to be advantage when you can put your tactical position in the race. I know Creator has come from way back. It's a small field. And I think, you know, if everything will go in the right direction, it could be a good setup for my horse because my horse is more closer. And the other one, he come from way back. He need to good setup, good pace in the race. And I don't see too many, like, crazy speed. I think they're all decent in spot, the whole different. They all look like the different same style. I think it's going to take advantage a little bit for that.
What's the key to getting a horse to relax if he has speed like Destin does, to get him to relax on the front end and maybe not go too fast early?
Well, basically, you need to, in the post parade, you need to warm him up the horse in the properly, in a nice way. You don't want to put it right in the toes. You don't want to crank him up a little bit. You want to set up with the pony, try to be relaxed a couple minutes before the race. And when soon open the gate, he's going to put you in the good spot early in the race. And you have to ride a lot of patience. I think, I believe it could be you hang. And he can be helped to settle the horses. You don't want to fight it too much. And more you fight it, more get aggravated the horses and they want to go fast. You have to be patient. That's the key.
How about the Saratoga main track here? What's the key to winning at a mile and an eighth here at Saratoga?
Well, you need to have the horse, no question about it. You need to have a good horse and can put you in any position you want in the race. And like any track, you need to ride with a lot of patience, a lot of confidence, and hopefully work out that way for you. Here is more competitive, a lot of cool horses and a lot of good riders. And I think it's all depending how lucky you are in the race and how you can fold the races. And you gotta find the best spot in the race because they all the almost similar style. They all good and they all good jockey. It's all depending how kind of trip you have in the race to win.
I know in other sports that athletes will get really excited about a rematch if they were beaten, especially narrowly beaten by their competitor the time before. How about with jockeys? Do you get excited about this rematch and having a chance to turn the tables on Creator?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward big time. I know the Jim Dandy is the prayer for the travel. But no matter what, you want to win. You want to win every single race here because it's so prestigious. It's one of the best meet in the country. And the fans and the people, I mean, it's amazing. You want to perform. You want to do well. Yeah, hopefully everything going my way, you know, and I'm looking forward.
Let's see your nose in front on Saturday. That would be okay, huh?
I'd be also because, you know, when you get beat that way, you feel like you want to get it back, you know. And as I'm looking for, the horse doing really well. Ty, he does a great job with the horse. I worked last week, worked amazing. I think we're just going to put a great show on Saturday.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Jockey Javier Castellano, maybe a bit of revenge on his mind later today as he squares off with Creator, just a nose apart in the Belmont Stakes last time out. And Jude, you remember, we were there, of course, providing the coverage here on Horse Racing Radio Network, and Destin had the lead, looked like he might be home free, but all of a sudden, here came that big gray son of Tappet, Creator, on the outside to get him at the wire.
Yeah, that was a heck of a race and a very exciting finish, and you know Javier has to be a little upset about that. You hate to lose those big ones by a nostril like that. I remember I was downstairs near the winner's circle, and of course Steve Asmussen was going crazy. As crazy as I've ever seen Steve get. He's very even keel, but he was so happy. And he was actually looking for his wife because he wanted her to get in the picture, but he couldn't find her anywhere. And I'm watching Todd walk down, and Todd looked like he was making the last walk to the electric chair. He just had the face, it was just like ashen, and I felt bad for Todd. I felt great for Steve, and it's just one of those things in racing that you run in a race like that that is, as Javier said, so prestigious, and you get beat a lip, it's tough.
Well, speaking of Steve and Todd, the result was flipped from years ago when you had 2007 with Rags to Riches getting up to defeat Curlin by a nostril. Of course, Rags to Riches trained by Todd, Curlin trained by Steve. They just flip things around this year.
Well, that's a Belmont that I will never forget. That was just one of the most incredible Belmonts I'd ever seen, and just so exciting. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's live by the sword, die by the sword, and it's, one of those things that happens in racing. And these guys are both, top caliber trainers, and they know how it goes, but it's still a little deflating when you lose.
Not only will Javier be part of today's Jim Dandy and all the big races here at Saratoga throughout the weekend, but on Monday night he's going to head just over to Saratoga Harness Track and to Vapor Nightclub for Saratoga Jockey Karaoke. Now, if you haven't been there for the first five, you need to make it to this sixth annual event, because first of all, I'm going to be there. The heck with Javier. I'm going to be there as one of the MCs in the VIP area doing interviews with some of the celebrity jockeys that are going to be there. And you're going to see Hall of Famers like Pat Day and Chris McCarron. You're going to see some of the disabled riders like Michael Strait and get a chance to talk with him for a little bit. Then you'll see guys like John Velasquez and Javier and Joel Rosario. All the big-name jocks will be there. And then you get to see him sing, which, well, trust me, that's not the highlight. It kind of turns into the highlight, but it's a little bit painful sometimes, too.
Well, if you think you got a bad ride, just go listen to him sing the night after that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you, of course, can check it out, pdjf.org, to learn more. You can get your tickets there. Everything kicks off right around 7 o'clock. The doors are going to open on Monday night for that jockey karaoke. We will be there. Do not miss it. PDJF.org. And, of course, this is PDJF Day across America. You can support the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. So many racetracks participating in jockey autograph signings and taking donations to support those riders who have given our sport so much and, unfortunately, because of an injury they sustained in the saddle, can no longer do their job. Check it all out, pdjf.org, and support the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and talk some Haskell with our Acacia Courtney. She's up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studd's Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalucy Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studd's Creative Cause. Think about it.
Malibu Moon is a horse you can believe in because of his pedigree and his looks and because of the ability that he's shown winning this maiden race. You could see he was a good horse. The reason I love Malibu Moon is that he has produced winners and stakes winners at every level. in our opinion, the best stallion in Kentucky was APMD. And he is APMD's best son at stud. He is a horse that you can believe in because he's done it at every level.
Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And once again, Songbird has left them chasing shadows. This glamour filly is treating her rivals with absolute contempt. It's another pitch-perfect performance by Songbird.
Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and champion Songbird ran her record to a perfect 9-4-9 last Sunday in the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks right here in Saratoga. Looked in the eye and challenged in mid-stretch. The daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia Doro dug in and drew off to win by 5 1/4 lengths. And she is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia Doro is ranked among the nation's elite sires once again in 2016 by number of Grade 1 winners, graded winners, and black type winners. In addition to champion Songbird, Medaglia Doro is the sire of 2016 Grade 1 winner Emshuish, a Grade 1 winner this year, and a winner at the highest level on both dirt and turf, and one of 14 total Grade 1 winners produced by Medaglia Doro. To learn more about Medaglia Doro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they hit the top of the stretch, Gunrunner is still the leader. Gray Sky continues to fight on. Is a length behind with 3/16 to go. Heading for the final furlong, and Catch the Storm on the outside is racing in third. Here's the eighth pole. Gunrunner shaken up on that lead. Gunrunner's running away from Gray Sky and Texas Chrome and everybody else. There's a 16th to go, and it's perfect execution by Gunrunner, winning the mat win for fun by 5 in the end. Gray Sky second, Texas Chrome third, Virtual Machine was fourth.
Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, live from Saratoga on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Gunrunner, Travis Stone with the call of that Matt Wynn Stakes that was back at Churchill on June 18th. He dominated a field, well, the way he was supposed to. He was a heavy favorite that day. Today, back in action against the Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist, the Preakness winner Exaggerator in the Haskell. That's actually tomorrow on the Jersey Shore. Today, of course, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy. All of that coverage kicking off for you this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 4 o'clock Eastern. You can listen in English and in Spanish with HRRN en Español. Details on our website, horseracingradio.net. Tomorrow's Haskell coverage kicks off 4 o'clock Eastern time with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, the Little A, Acacia Courtney, making their way to the Jersey Shore to bring you all that on-site coverage tomorrow. Again, 4 o'clock Eastern. That coverage available exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. Spectacular morning here in Saratoga. Temperatures in the low 70s on our way to the low 80s. Should be a fast main track and a firm turf course. Some fans now lining the apron, just kind of getting a look at the horses. They're leaning against the rail as the horses have come back out for morning training. Really picturesque setting. The only thing maybe detracting from that, Jude, is the young lady standing out there in the Baltimore Ravens shirt right next to the rail.
Yes, I know that was a distraction. She had her back to you, and I said that's very dangerous to
shouldn't
put your
allowed
back to the Baron in a Ravens shirt.
Yeah, it should not be allowed at Saratoga. Turn around again. Come here. Yeah. All right, anyway, Acacia Courtney, she better not be wearing Baltimore Ravens stuff. She better be wearing her HRN black and gold when she goes to Haskell tomorrow. She's with us now on the Equine Forum. Acacia, what's up?
No Baltimore Ravens apparel for me, Mike, I promise you. But do have my black and gold ready. We're taking this show on the road. Really excited to be heading down the shore with the Big A.
Yeah, and a pretty good race, too. Six horses. We heard the clip of Gunrunner winning the Matt Wynn. He's a bit under the radar, but maybe a buzz horse. He's 4-1 on the morning line. But, boy, tough assignment when you have to square off with horses like Nyquist and Exaggerator.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really interesting because you do have the top three finishers from the Kentucky Derby, including Gunrunner, who finished third behind Nyquist and Exaggerator. So he'll get a little bit of an opportunity to redeem himself. He hasn't gotten a Grade 1 win yet. Nyquist, of course, got the Kentucky Derby. Exaggerator came back to get the Preakness. So Gunrunner is looking for his own Grade 1 victory.
Well, it's a very tough race, and everybody thinks they have a chance. Doug's horse, Nyquist, been training lights out, as good as ever. And Steve Asmussen loves the way his horse is coming up to the race. It was kind of a surprise to see DeSormo enter Exaggerator, but I guess the weather is a big factor with the rain in the forecast. What do you hear about the weather? What's it going to be like?
Well, it looks like there's a chance of rain, chance of thunderstorms. Wouldn't be surprised to see it typical northeast, kind of maybe a little sprinkle throughout the day, or surprise us with the downpour. Been keeping an eye on it, and it just pretty consistently keeps saying there's a chance of rain. The big A said that the DeSormo brothers are probably doing a rain dance right now, because we know Exaggerator has fared pretty well on wet tracks before, but it was interesting to see him opt for the half full versus the Jim Dandy. And one of the other interesting parts about that is that there does seem to be a few horses in this Haskell that like to be on the front end, Nyquist included, especially coming from the rail. And I'm sure with Exaggerator's running style and his closing style, he's probably looking pretty favorably at that as well.
Well, Acacia, it wouldn't be a Haskell without Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, who's won it, what, a record eight times?
Eight times. Yeah, he has American Freedom, who's going to break from post five, and he won it last year with American Pharaoh, so he has American Freedom this year. And this horse is a little bit of the wild card, I think, in here, because most of these other horses have run against each other before. As I said, kind of a rematch for the Kentucky Derby with the top three finishers and Nyquist, Exaggerator, and Gunrunner. But American Pharaoh, American Freedom, jinxing myself already there, American Freedom's only bad race came at Churchill when he tried the Grade 3 Pat Day Mile. All three of his other starts have been victories, including one in the Sir Barton in the Mud.
Yeah, I was with Bob Baffert when the horse contested the Sir Barton, and Bob was telling me that he had planned on running him in the Preakness, but when he laid an egg in the Pat Day Mile, he had to reconfigure the horse's schedule. But since then, the Sir Barton victory was very nice, an extremely game effort, and the horse he beat came back to win and then went to the Iowa Derby and just parked against a really nice field. So this horse is on the improve. He's seemed to really get along nicely with Rafael Bejarano, who's got great hands, and I think he's a major contender.
I think so, too, and I don't think that he's one that's going to fly under the radar, though, especially with Bob Baffert and his track record in the half full, and with the way this horse has been training as well. He had a 4-furlong bullet over at Del Mar before coming over here to the East Coast, and he's another one, though, that might keep Nyquist a bit of company on the front end.
Well, Acacia, I have to tell you, I'm jealous that you get to be there to see this great race. Of course, we have a good one coming up later this afternoon here in Saratoga. But fill people in on the coverage. What time's everything kicking off, and what's the details on what you guys are going to be doing?
Well, we start at 4 p.m. We're also going to have, it's a great race over at Monmouth, so be really exciting. It's going to be me and the Big A. You mentioned exclusive to the website, horseracingradio.net. We go from 4 to 6. We'll also have the Ocean Port, the Molly Pitcher, and the Matchmaker in addition to the Haskell. So a really great day of racing over at Monmouth Park.
All right, so our poll question today, Acacia, is how do you eat your corn on the cob? And Jude and I go around. So many people that we know go across like a typewriter. I'm hoping that around ends up winning the poll. But how about you? Which one are you voting for?
I go around. I've been taught that way, but ever since a little kid growing up in New England, July, August, you got to have the corn on the cob, and you got to make as big a mess of yourself as possible.
Well, we make a mess of ourselves a lot. Usually it's not corn on the cob that causes that.
Could be anything. I'm right there with you guys.
It could be anything. AC, we appreciate it. Have fun with the big A down there, and we'll be tuned in tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern, horseracingradio.net.
Absolutely. Enjoy Saratoga today. Thanks, guys.
All right, Acacia Courtney, like all of our guests who appear on the program, she's going to get one. She's going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget to embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And it's kind of cool. Embrace the Race is based right here in Saratoga. The store is right here in downtown Saratoga. And so many people walking around with Embrace the Race things on throughout the spa, and we see them all over town. We see flags outside of houses and businesses. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we had George from Boston here this morning, and George said he made a big trifecta, and the first thing he did was go over to the Embrace the Race store and pick up 300 bucks worth of merchandise. He goes, I couldn't leave here without my Embrace the Race stuff. So good for George and good for Embrace the Race. It's a beautiful store, and they'll take care of you. The owner, Mike D'Anzaris, he was running up and down the stairs trying to get George everything he needed. So it's first-class service over there. And I think we're going to do a show from there later on this meeting.
Yeah, we are. August 20th, I believe, is the date we're going to be over there at Embrace the Race. We'll do this entire Equine Forum show from the store, so don't miss it. You'll hear from Mike, and we'll tell you all about Embrace the Race and what that store, what that product, what that brand symbolizes for the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, you see the Embrace the Race flags all over town.
And we can tell you that Embrace the Race is the presenting sponsor of our Fasig Tipton sale coverage, which comes up a week from Monday. Monday and Tuesday, starting 1 week from this Monday, you're going to hear our exclusive coverage of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. We've done that the past several years. It's been extremely popular with listeners, not only here on SiriusXM, but, of course, tuning in on our website all over the world. So we can't wait to get over there and do that, too.
Yeah, it's always a fun show.
All right, check it all out, horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a short break. We'll come back, get you set for hour number two, which features several special guests. We'll tell you all about it next. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Cherry Wine. My man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohe Man who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohe Man to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohe Man pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, live from the Spa, Saratoga in upstate New York, getting you set for a huge weekend of racing. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, our interview with Kieran McLaughlin, our interview with Javier Castellano, or with Acacia Courtney a few minutes ago, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast of this show and all of our weekly talk shows available for you, horseracingradio.net, and that includes our Jock Talk show, Trainer Talk show, our Brisnet call-in show, and of course, the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview every single Friday with Ella Starr and Anthony Stabile. They're all there for you to listen at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. Boy, what a morning here in Saratoga. Horses continuing to work out, fans lining the apron and the rail just to get a glimpse of the horses, and really spectacular. And we're starting to see the cavalry of golf carts arrive in front of us here, Jude, with all the trainers and horsemen.
Yeah, it looks like a shotgun start this morning, and it's nice to see that people have started to get out of bed finally. We have a lot of people, and it's especially what I love about Saratoga is all the kids that come out in the morning and watch the horses go. It's a lot
great.
Of fun.
Hall of Famer Bill Mott has made his way out. He's getting ready to watch some of his horses train, and We saw Steve Asmussen a short time ago. We're seeing Angel Cordero Jr., the Hall of Famer, who is here. He's now the agent for jockey John Velasquez. He's standing up on the back of his golf cart right by the rail. There is an Outrider pony right in front of him, and he's just kind of as much of a fan as everybody else here this morning. Pretty neat to see.
Yeah, it's really cool. John Terranova was here watching a couple of breezers with his daughter, and just a really nice morning here at Saratoga.
The King of Royal Ascot was here as well.
Yes.
Mr. Wesley Ward. The conqueror.
The conqueror of Royal Ascot, as he so happily put it the other day.
All right. Well, don't forget that we're back 4 o'clock Eastern time today with all of our coverage of the Jim Dandy, the A.G. Vanderbilt, and the Bowling Green. Now, as we told you at the top of the show, you're going to be able to hear that coverage in both English and Spanish. It's the debut of HRRN en Español today, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure you're locked in. Of course, all the Spanish-speaking horse racing fans around the globe can tune in on our website, horseracingradio.net. You go to the homepage, there is a Listen Live button to tune into the English coverage, and then you have the button right next to it, which is Escuchar en Vivo. Listen Live. How's that?
You're a pistol. I got to hand it to you.
I'm getting better with it.
You are.
I'm never going to host that coverage. Trust me.
You know, I don't. Never say never. You never know.
Right.
You keep learning a little bit more every day.
El caballo es muy rápido. Is that right? Did I get it right?
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls.
I have no idea. Well, you know who liked that one? Is Roberto Rodriguez, who is going to be hosting that coverage this afternoon on HRN in Espanol. He gave me the thumbs up for that one. Eloy Vielma is going to be with him, along with Hall of Fame jockey Ramon Dominguez. The three of them will provide that coverage starting at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Help us spread the word. Tweet it. Facebook it. Let all your friends all over the world know that they can now tune in to the coverage all in Spanish. The race calls are going to be in Spanish, too, because Luis Grandison is the Spanish broadcaster, the Spanish announcer here at NYRA. So we'll have his calls on that coverage as well.
He's not the senior caller, but he's the Spanish-speaking caller.
Yeah, you're talking about Colmus. Yeah, that's enough Colmus talk on the show, let me tell you. All right, Roberto and Eloy will join us at 9:20 Eastern time, a few minutes after that. But coming up next, you're going to hear trainer Steve Asmussen. Now, Steve, and I did it again, Asmussen. See how I said that?
I know.
Because that's how we went.
I was shocked.
It is not Asmussen. It is Asmussen, right?
Right.
And so he is going to tell us all about his Belmont Runner creator. He's going to tell you all about Gunrunner, who goes tomorrow in the Haskell. We talked about him a short time ago with Acacia, and it was so much fun to catch up with Steve yesterday at the barn, wasn't it?
Yeah, Steve was great yesterday. He was in a fantastic mood, and everything coming up good for Gunrunner, so it was nice to catch up with him. I hadn't seen him since Belmont Day, so it was cool.
He also talked about being inducted into Horse Racing's Hall of Fame in just a couple of weeks right here in Saratoga, and here's what Steve had to say yesterday morning. 2016 Hall of Fame inductee Steve Asmussen is going to be a very busy man this weekend, as has become customary on the weekends for Steve. Steve, let's start with talking about creator and the Jim Dandy, and we'll start with looking back on the Belmont. You came down to the winner's circle of the Belmont after that victory, and your feet, I don't even know if they touched the ground, my friend. Look back on that day.
A very special moment. You know, I did watch the Belmont from the gap there at Belmont, and it unfolded perfectly, and, you know, extremely exciting finish, and to say we were elated is an understatement.
When did you know you had it won?
Watching the race live, you thought he got up, but you sure a great sense of comfort when they put the number up. You know, we've all, you know, been part of photos that didn't go our way, so it's just quite a relief when they put his number up.
What made that win maybe a little extra special for Steve Asmussen?
It was a Belmont Stakes, Curlin's tough defeat in it. Just the fact that it's a classic, and I think the style in which Creator ran made it special for me.
All right, let's look ahead to the Jim Dandy now on Saturday, his first start since winning that Belmont Stakes. Tell me about the past several weeks with him. What's been going on with Creator?
He had a nice little break at Windstar off of his Belmont victory. I thought he did really well with the time off. He's come back in very proud of himself, put in some nice work here at Saratoga, and we expect a big race from him. I do think that for Creator, the Jim Dandy is a prep for the Travers. You know, I think that it's quite obvious he's a better horse with more distance.
Yeah, of course, the Jim Dandy, a mile and an eighth, much different scenario than he faced in the Belmont because he also catches a smaller field, too. Probably not going to play to his advantage, as you mentioned. But, you know, one thing I noticed about the Belmont is he sat a little bit closer to the pace than what we've seen in the past. Was that by design?
I feel that, you know, for tomorrow's Jim Dandy, his post-position draw will put him in a little better position. He doesn't have to, you know, worry about anything from there. And, you know, very, very obviously we were excited about the ride Irad gave him in the Belmont and look forward to a good trip again tomorrow.
All right, the A.G. Vanderbilt, the race before the Jim Dandy, you send out Holy Boss, who won the Amsterdam here last year. He's winless since that victory, but, boy, he's been knocking on the door. He's run well.
He's a very tough horse. We're very lucky to have him. As you mentioned, he hasn't won since the Amsterdam last year. His race in the True North from the one hole kind of staggered away from there just a little bit. Didn't get away from there as cleanly as would have been best for him. And put him in a tough position. We have added blinkers for the first time for the Vanderbilt and just hoping he gets away a little crisper and enable him to run his race.
All right, for people listening, they might not understand adding blinkers, right? Why does a trainer do that, especially with a horse like Holy Boss?
Well, I think that with the little age, he's gotten a touch complacent, you know, just looking for a touch more focus. As you mentioned, he's run some very good races in the last year, but without a victory. And we, you know, we're here to win and just trying to get over the hump with him.
After Saturday, you're going to make your way southward to Monmouth for the Haskell and another talented three-year-old in Gunrunner who came back the week after the Belmont, won at Churchill Downs, and now we'll see him in the Haskell squaring off with Nyquist and Exaggerator. Talk to me about Gunrunner.
I think Gunrunner is an extremely talented horse that has continued to physically develop. The Haskell will require his best race to date, and we think that we're setting on it. The spacing between the Derby and the Haskell, the Matt Wynn fit in there perfectly, was able to run at his home track. I think that he handled a overmatched field but came out of it with a, you know, with his head in the right spot and expect the race of his life on Sunday.
Tell me about training Creator and Gunrunner. Do you train them in the same fashion or do you have to train them each a little bit differently because of their styles?
Well, they're very different horses. You know, we're obviously feel very fortunate to have 2 3-year-olds who have had as much success as they have. But the one thing that I think is consistent with both of them is that they are horses that are physically developing, and they're, as much as they've done, we still feel like their best days are ahead of them.
You know, one of my favorite Haskells that we had a chance to be part of here on the radio was Rachel Alexandra in 2009. She's going to go into the Hall of Fame with you in a couple of weeks, and I know that that was a special day in New Jersey, and I know it's going to be a special day here in a couple of weeks in Saratoga.
Well, very much so. Rachel's she's a dream. The unique thing about Rachel, other than her amazing ability, was I'd never been a part of a horse that everybody, it felt like everybody was on her side. I mean, you ran against people that were rooting for her. So very unique following for Rachel, and I thought she was very deserving of all the accolades and just indescribable horse, you know, in her ability and just her persona.
How appropriate is it that you get to go in to the Hall of Fame the same year that she does?
It's a true blessing. You know, what an honor, you know, to be put in the Hall of Fame and to be able to go in with Rachel Alexander, which is, you know, to be around her was, let alone to be put in the Hall of Fame with her, a very special thing.
Have you started working on the speech yet?
And I get more confused every day. You know, they put a trainer in the Hall of Fame, you know, your 35,000 starts and all the people that have helped you and continued to do so, to get that into 10 minutes. I think I just need to apologize to all the people I forget already.
You're a class act. If anybody can handle it, Steve Asmussen can. Appreciate it, my friend. Good luck this weekend and all the best in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you very much.
Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen, and getting more confused every day when he tries to think about that speech and all the people he needs to thank. And Jude is a former trainer. You did it for 20 years. You can put yourself in his shoes a little bit and imagine what that's like.
Yeah, well, there's so many people that, you know, it takes a village, really, to run an operation. And when you have one as far-flung as Steve's and, you know, horses at several different racetracks, he's an amazing guy because no matter what horse it is, what racetrack it is, he can tell you exactly what the horse is doing, where the horse is in his schedule, what day the race is going to be that he's pointing for. The guy's got a great mind, and I'm sure he'll figure that speech out. But somebody will get left out, and he'll feel terrible later. But, you know, I think everybody has to realize that it's an appreciation that he has for his help. And when we talked to him a while back, he discussed that and discussed the fact that it's not just Steve Asmussen going to the Hall of Fame. It's everybody that works for him going to the Hall of Fame.
How about his two highly talented three-year-olds running today? Creator here at Saratoga, and then, of course, tomorrow, Gunrunner and the Haskell.
Well, you know, Creator, I think he's kind of up against it with the pace situation in the short field. I mean, he really needs a hot pace to be effective. And, you know, he'll probably run well, but I don't really think this is the primary objective for him anyway. I think the Travers is. I think
Steve said that.
Yeah, he's hoping that he's going to get, you know, a better pace scenario. And, of course, the farther the race is, I think the better Creator likes them. So I think this is, really strictly a prep race for Creator. He may win, but it would have to take some kind of really hot pace, and I don't foresee that happening. And then, you know, Gunrunner. Gunrunner's a really nice horse. I mean, he can really run.
Didn't Steve perk up just a little bit when we asked him about Gunrunner?
Yeah.
Didn't his voice? You like to read between the lines of trainers.
Right.
He perked up a little bit. He really likes Gunrunner.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think this horse has always had a soft spot in Steve's heart and, you know, Jenny Reese's too. Jenny Reese, arguably the biggest Gunrunner fan of all time. But, you know, he's a very nice horse. And he's one of those horses that's a little bit more fresh than a Nyquist is, you know. So I think he's got a shot at it, certainly.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, you're going to hear from our HRRN and Espanol broadcast team. That's Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, is going to be with us right around 9:35 Eastern time for our Right or Wrong segment. We'll debate a couple of the hot topics in thoroughbred racing that's presented by Sunrise Stallions. And at the end of the show, we'll take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. You're going to hear from Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens talking about Beholder in today's Clement L. Hirsch at Del Mar. So a lot of things yet to come. Still time, though, for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, a full field is possible for the West Virginia Derby. A full field of 12 appears possible for that $750,000 West Virginia Derby on August 6th at Mountaineer, according to the Trax Racing office. Mountaineer officials, July 29th, said that trainers of 14 horses have indicated interest in entering the Mile and an Eighth Derby, one of nine stakes on a Saturday program that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. Two other horses are on the fence for that West Virginia Derby. And Stallion Seeking the Gold dies at the age of 31. Multiple Grade 1 winner and top sire Seeking the Gold has died at the age of 31. He was euthanized July 28th from infirmities of old age, according to Claiborne Farm representative Bernie Sams. The brilliant son of Mr. Prospector out of the Buck Passer Mare Con Game was foaled in Kentucky at Claiborne near Paris in 1985. Trained by Shug McGahee for breeder owner Ogden Phipps, Seeking the Gold notched 8 wins and 6 seconds in 15 starts with career earnings of $2.3 million. And he is going to be missed. And our condolences to all the folks at Claiborne, the passing of the great Seeking the Gold this past week. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for this morning, brought to you each and every Saturday by the Blood Horse and Blood Horse Daily, which briefs you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a newsletter. You can do that, or you can download the app on your smartphone today, bloodhorse.com/daily. Well, you should support the PDJF, too, right?
Absolutely.
PDJF Day at the Races, that's on my mind, too.
You say PDJF so many times. That's good. Official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is. We're going to get to a break. We're back to visit with Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parru. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by the exciting Bob Baffert trainee, Dre Fong.
But Dre Fong is well clear at the 16th pole. A talented colt. Two for two this campaign. Dre Fong by six lengths.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off to New York, the premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Claiborne Farm is proud to offer the regally bred Orb. The son of Malibu Moon compiled a five-race winning streak that included the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby. In the Kentucky Derby, he defeated rivals Will Take Charge, Oxbow, Golden Sense, and Palace Malice. Now the millionaire racehorse is garnering big checks for breeders as the leading first crop covering sire and leading first crop weanling sire of his class. Now is the time to book your mare to Orb at Claiborne Farm.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Maryland breds are your formula for success. Be part of a breeding program in a state which offers competitive purses, 30% breeder bonuses, 30% owner bonuses, and year-round racing backed by state legislators creating pro-breeding and racing legislation, all supported by a working cooperative between the racetracks, horsemen, and breeders. It's time to own a Maryland bred. Better stallions, better mares. Maryland breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Va avanzando y va pasando Exciter, va pasando por la parte de arriba. Destin ha tocado el comando, Destin ha dominado el comando. De atrás Exciter viene avanzando, Destin ha dominado el comando. El Belmont Tail lo ha dominado Destin por un cuerpo, cuerpo y medio. Ha dominado Destin con Javier Castellano, ha dominado por dos cuerpos Destin. Segundo, está tratando de avanzar fuerte, Destin mantiene el comando, avanzando rápidamente por fuera, llegando final. Estrecho por fuera, lo barrió Creator a Destin con Irak Ortiz.
The call of the 2016 Belmont Stakes in Spanish, if you couldn't tell. Luis Grandison, the Spanish announcer here at NYRA with the call. He's also going to have the call of the Bowling Green, the AG Vanderbilt, and the Jim Dandy later today on our HRRN and Espanol coverage. Kicks off for the very first time here on the network this afternoon for Eastern. You can visit horseracingradio.net to listen live anywhere in the world. So spread the word to all your friends who are Spanish-speaking horse racing fans. They can tune in this afternoon 4 to 6:30 Eastern on our website for all that coverage. The coverage going to be hosted by Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma. Of course, Hall of Famer Ramon Dominguez will be sitting in with them as well. So what a trio we've assembled for that first broadcast. And Roberto and Eloy are with us now this morning here at Saratoga on the Equine Forum. Roberto,
Oh, excited to be here. Buenos dias, señor.
How are you, my friend?
I feel fantastic. So this is like a dream come true. You know, we spoke this for a long time ago about this, and now it's a reality. So we are very excited. You know what? You know what's going to happen this afternoon. So
you have tremendous energy.
Oh,
just watching you this week, you know, do all the things that you do, your website, all the social media that you engage in, and you always have a smile on your face. Fantastic, really.
Well, that's the passion for this game, you know, that keeps me going. So that's the way that I can express that. So it's no other way.
You have probably the largest Spanish horse racing website in the country at ElPotroRoberto.com.
Yes.
And you do several articles, which are all in Spanish pertaining to horse racing. And, yes. And folks that visit your website can access the broadcast later today.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. You're going to be the homepage. You will see the banner, you know, and you will see Eloy and I. Obviously, you know, this is the prettiest guy of the group. So, and also, if you have access to the news, you know, you will see another banner there. The people just has to click there. It will take you directly to our, you know, your HRRN website to listen this afternoon.
Eloy's making his very first visit to Saratoga. What do you think so far, Eloy?
Oh, it's a spectacular. This is a great place. It's unbelievable what I am looking around this place. It's very exciting.
And, you know, let's kind of set the scene here and let people know a little bit more about the two of you. You've been involved with racing, both of you, for a very long time. Roberto, you know, you've been a host, a broadcaster for a long time. Eloy, the same thing. You have a broadcasting background.
Right.
So the information, and then you throw in Ramon Dominguez later today, the information that people are going to be able to get on this broadcast is going to be just absolutely tremendous, Eloy.
Yes. The people is waiting for this information. They love the horse racing, and they're waiting the information from the United States in Spanish. The people in Latin America, they love what happened in this country around the horse racing. Then I know a lot of people who send them information about us, and they need that information.
Yeah, I mean, we have people in South America, especially in the Caribbean, mostly. I would say Venezuela, Puerto Rico, you know, obviously you got South America, you got Chile, Argentina. They follow United States horse racing all year round. The only thing is, you know, because they in language barrier, they haven't able to follow like at 100% like, you know, we do here. And create this, we make everything easier for there. So I think the United States horse racing will grow after all these ideas to translate, you know, and to make it easy for them. Like, for example, like I did with my website. Now with this radio, you can go even driving. Just everybody have probably a cell phone or internet access. So like we were talking, they got no excuses.
Right, no
so
excuses.
So they listen in their own language. You know, yes. The biggest stage has a Saratoga is. I think it's just a big step. So,
and the world is getting a lot smaller. We see a lot of American trainers now taking horses to Royal Ascot. Mm. We see a lot of owners and trainers from South America coming to the sales and buying horses and being involved with American racing. And there hasn't been an outlet for people to follow along. And I think, you know, a lot of stallions now shuttle to South America and breed on Southern Hemisphere time. So all of these things together, the world being a smaller and smaller place all the time, easy access via you know, flights everywhere, every hour. It's really going to be a big thing for the industry, I think. It's a positive for all the people that speak Spanish and are in other countries, but it's a huge positive for people in the United States who are involved in business with a lot of other countries.
Absolutely.
And it's really going to be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like a lot of people, little horse racing fans that I've been waiting for. You know, most of the major sport has it, like major league.
Baseball, football.
You got NBA. Everybody has, like, you know, like a Spanish, you know, broadcasting. And now to have this, you know, I think it's huge for us.
Yeah, ESPN Deportes is one of the biggest broadcasting companies in the world. Yeah. So.
He's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. We're visiting with our HRN and Espanol broadcast team, which you'll hear this afternoon beginning 4 o'clock Eastern. That's Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma. They'll be joined by Hall of Fame jockey Ramon Dominguez. And what a great addition to the team Ramon is going to be. I was mentioning this earlier, guys, that we were sitting in having a production meeting yesterday, walking through the show, and Ramon was bringing up things that I didn't even know, right? I mean, I've been around the game just like you guys a long time. But he brings that unbelievable jockey insight to the table, which folks can enjoy later today.
Yes. Actually, yeah, that will be for the fans. It will be like, you know, just to have a jockey like Ramon Dominguez, you know, Hall of Fame, and all what he did. And just listen to him, they're going to feel like they are pretty much on the track riding that horse. So that will be amazing.
You know, you guys have been out
working. It's different from you.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. And you guys have been out working tirelessly throughout the week since you arrived here, gathering interviews that people are going to hear back on the coverage today. Eloy, who are some of the jockeys that you talked to this week?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, because
wait, you were there.
Yeah, he was there doing something else.
Irad, right?
Yeah, Irad. We got Junior.
Yep.
Jose Ortiz. Actually, we got Jose Ortiz after he got the 1,000 big wins.
Yeah,
we
got right there.
And Joel, obviously, and Javier. He wants to spend more time with Javier, Johnny. So, I mean, they are, you know, the top jockeys, and I would say, the, you know, east of the country. So, but for us, for the fans, just being, you know, listening to them, their own language. You know, this is like a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that I can, they don't have it.
Well, we interviewed the great Braulio Baeza earlier this week, and he talked about growing up in Panama. And, of course, Panama, huge racing country, and how he would look forward all the time to coming to the United States and seeing the races here because, you know, he was able to maybe watch the Kentucky Derby or something on a newsreel. When he was young, he went to the movie theater, and the only time he would be able to see the races was on those newsreels. And he said he would stay in the movie theater all day and just watch the newsreel over and over and over again so he could see American racing. And there's a lot of people around the world that feel the same way. They, you know, they know the Kentucky Derby. They know what Saratoga is, but they don't have that experience. And now with you guys doing the broadcast, that's going to bring it closer to home for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we need to thank Gulfstream Park as well because they are the presenting title sponsor of today's Jim Dandy coverage on HRNS and Espanol. So our thanks to Gulfstream Park as well.
Yeah, Gulfstream Park is a spectacular place, and they support us in this new project. I more than believe, I ensure that it will be a tremendous successful.
Eloy, who's going to win the Jim Dandy today?
Oh, I will tell you later. In Spanish. In Spanish.
A tease.
Dude, listen. Okay, now you feel me. Now you have to leave it. Now you know how the way that I feel.
As Jerry Fanning would say, it's too early to let that cat out of the
bag. Oh, my God.
How am I going to know if I tune? I don't speak a word of Spanish.
No. Listen.
Poquito.
No. You're improving. You know, you're improving. At least you got 10 words. Already, so I say probably by the Breeders' Cup, you're gonna join us. I think you're gonna be ready by then.
Wow,
so, Mike,
yo no sé.
Yo no sé. See?
All right, guys, we can't wait to see the hear the coverage later this afternoon. Again, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. You go to our website, horseracingradio.net, or you can go to Roberto's website. That's elpotroroberto.com, and you click on the Escuchar en Vivo button. It'll take you to the Spanish page of our HRN website, and you can listen live anywhere in the world in Spanish later today. It is a milestone day for the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we couldn't be more proud to bring it your way right here on HRN.
Well, guys, yeah, well, I mean, thank you again for this opportunity. It's been, you know, it's a privilege for us to be here, you know, joining.
Guys, can't wait to hear you. Eloy, appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have fun today.
Thank you.
All right, Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, our HRN and Espanol broadcast team. Not only will you hear them on the Jim Dandy today, but they're going to be back with Travers coverage right here at Saratoga. The Breeders' Cup is another event Friday and Saturday. Both days going to be broadcast in Spanish here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And keep watching that website because another broadcast or two might be in the mix for you as well as we move closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships in November. And it is time now to update you on everything happening with the KTA-KTOB. This is your monthly KTA-KTOB spotlight. And when we talk about the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and the Kentucky Thoroughbred owners and breeders, well, Kentucky bred means quality bred. 10 of the 13 Triple Crown winners were bred in Kentucky, and Kentucky leads all other states combined in number and percentage of stakes winners produced. Each August, breeders nominate their pregnant mares so that the resulting foals can earn them breeder awards for winning races all over the world. $118 million. That's $118 million has been awarded to Kentucky breeders over the past 10 years. Breeders can earn money by winning maiden special weight races, allowance races, stakes in the U.S. or at Woodbine, graded or group races, not only in the United States, but in England, Ireland, France, or Canada, and grade one races on the Dubai World Cup card, Hong Kong International Day, or Japan Cup Day. That's pretty cool. Additionally, $200,000 is allocated to the top 20 claiming horses in Kentucky with the most wins. Think about that. Yeah, register your mare with the Kentucky Thoroughbred Breeders Incentive Fund by August 15th for early filing fee of $60 per mare. Do that right now. You can be eligible to earn breeder awards worldwide. For more information, all you have to do is visit registerkbif.com. That's registerkbif.com. Good stuff, huh?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great program. Really is. Make sure you check it all out. Time now for our weekly Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. And to help me out with this segment is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Big A, what's up?
What's happening, guys?
You ready to roll?
Yeah, you're killing me with the salad and the corn stuff, though.
How do you eat your corn?
I do a little bit of both. I go typewriter around the cob, actually.
Kind of diagonal?
I have to be the contrarian.
Typewriter around the cob.
I usually just stick the cob in my mouth and pull it out with all the kernels missing, actually.
That's the same approach he uses with chicken parm and with pizza. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it reminds me of those guys that on television that tell you how to eat chicken wings.
All right, Big A, you ready to do this?
Absolutely.
All right, two topics, right or wrong?
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Songbird remained perfect with her 5 1/4 length win in the Coaching Club American Oaks last Sunday here at the Spa. That victory at the Graveyard of Champions after shipping all the way cross-country proved that she is by far the best 3-year-old of either sex racing this year. Right or wrong?
That's wrong, Baron. She is the best horse in training this year. 3-year-old, older, male, female, over the jumps, under the hurdles. I'll take Songbird against any of them. Rick Porter, her owner, told Tim Wilkin, a friend of ours from the Albany Times Union, that there's no chance she'll run in the Travers, but maybe they'll do something in the Breeders' Cup. She runs in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I'll make the biggest bet of my life on her.
All right. Wait a minute. What you just said is absolute lunacy. So you're going to take Songbird in a race against Beholder. You're going to take Songbird in a race against California Chrome.
Yes.
All right. I don't even know where to go with this because that was such a moronic statement that I don't even know where to go with this one right now. Big A, she's not even the best 3-year-old. There's a difference in she's awesome. I love Songbird, but there's a difference in beating the fillies that she's beating, who some are pretty darn good. There's a difference in hooking a horse like Nyquist or hooking a horse like, say, Creator or Destin, and looking them in the eye, or Mohamed. It is apples and oranges, and until she faces boys and beats the boys the way she's been beating the girls, I can't say that she's the best 3-year-old in the country. And to say that she is better than a horse like Beholder or California Chrome is just I don't even know what that is.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, here we go. Number two, the Haskell on Sunday at Monmouth, which you will be broadcasting here on the network, is more likely to produce the Travers winner than the Jim Dandy later today right here at Saratoga. Right or wrong?
I'm going to go wrong on this one, Baron. I like the field up at Saratoga today, which you guys will have on Saturdays at Saratoga. I like the fact that they're getting that race over the track. And if Kieran McLaughlin and Mohamed stay as hot as Kieran's been, they might as well put the money for the Travers into his account already. Creator is a horse that I've always been a fan of. The mile and a quarter is right in his wheelhouse. And even a horse like Destin, I mean, if he keeps taking these steps forward like he has all spring and summer long, from the Derby to the Belmont, if he takes another step forward today, you know, I feel like we know what Nyquist is, and Nyquist is a very good horse, but I've never been a big believer that he wants those classic distances. Exaggerator needs a wet track. Gunrunner probably doesn't want to go that long. I think there's a better chance the Jim Dandy produces the Travers winner.
Yeah, you know, I thought long and hard about this question, and I think it's a push. I really don't think, and I think evident to the fact that we had a different winner of all three Triple Crown races this year, I don't think you have that standout three-year-old. And I could certainly see Nyquist coming out of the Haskell and running a monster race tomorrow and then coming back and running a big race here in the Travers. I could see Gunrunner doing the same thing. American Freedom, we don't know what on earth he is right now because he's 3-for-4 lifetime and looked great winning the Iowa Derby. He gets an acid test tomorrow. You're right about Exaggerator. If it rains, he's a different horse, and we know that he can get this type of distance, but he's good on a dry track as well. In the Jim Dandy, Creator, Destin, Governor Malibu, Mohamed, those are the big four. I don't think there's much separating the horses in the Jim Dandy or in the Haskell. I see this Big A as being a push. It could go either way.
Yeah, right or wrong. Okay.
All right, and that is Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions, the home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother Heavy Breathing. You can learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com. Big A, appreciate it, my friend. We'll look forward to hearing you tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern, live from Monmouth.
You got it, guys. Have a great day up the spot today.
All right. Beating Beholder in California Chrome. All right, we're back after a word from Sunrise.
Sunrise Stallions, home of Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. With 18% stakes horses from starters, Frost Giant continues to produce exciting runners, including top two-year-olds, winning against open company and in stakes competitions.
Bobby on Fleek, very impressive six-length winner here.
Sonido moving clear to win easily.
Miss Freeze, a sharp stakes-winning debut.
Learn more about Frost Giant, Big Brown, and Heavy Breathing at sunrisestallions.com.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you here on the Equine Forum, live from Saratoga. Been a very busy program. We've covered a lot of ground. Still some more ground yet to cover. We have to head out to the West Coast and talk about Champion Beholder, who goes in today's Clement L. Hirsch. We're going to do that with Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens next as we take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway. But first, let's pause for a quick break on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard. heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire to visit there with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Horse Bill is going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy, a world class sire standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
Baron and Pontiff back with you from Saratoga in Saratoga Springs, New York. Our coverage of the Jim Dandy, the A.G. Vanderbilt, and the Bowling Green coming up this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, all presented by VisitBarbados.org. Our HRRN and Espanol Spanish coverage also begins at 4 Eastern. That is presented by Gulfstream Park. Make sure you visit our website for more information and to listen live anywhere in the world. Of course, the English coverage will be presented on SiriusXM Channel 93 later today and available there for you as well. Time now to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup, all presented by Gainsway.
This is the Road to the Breeders' Cup.
In the race of the year, for horse of the year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And we got a chance to catch up with Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens yesterday. We asked him about Beholder in today's Clement L. Hirsch, and he looked back on some of his other top fillies as well. Hall of Famer Gary Stevens has won more than 5,000 races in that Hall of Fame career, and he's back with his champion Beholder in this afternoon's Clement L. Hirsch at Del Mar, and boy, has she been simply spectacular. Gary, we appreciate the time, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Gary, what's it like to ride Beholder?
She's just, I mean, the old saying, poetry in motion. She literally is poetry in motion. She's very intelligent, and, even when I work her out in the morning, it's special. She just does things so easily, and she's such a great athlete.
She's an amazing filly mare, and she does everything so effortless. When she won the Pacific Classic last year, I've seen thousands of races, and I never saw anything like that. I mean, it's like the old line, I can't believe what I just saw. Were you surprised that she had that in her?
No, I really wasn't. I mean, all the signals she had sent us leading up to the Pacific Classic last year had kind of told us that she was going to do something very special. And I won't say we were expecting that, but I wasn't surprised by it. And the amazing thing about it was when she made that move around the turn, that was without being asked. I mean, I really did not even start to make a move until she had lined out into the stretch. And the amazing thing about the effort was I let out this wild war whoop when I crossed the finish line, just like, you know, out of pure joy. And she hit another gear with me, and I'm like, no, you, race is over. You've done enough. So I mean, saying that, there was still more. And, you know, that's why we were so excited about the Breeders' Cup Classic, you know, and everything fell apart at the end. We saw a great performance from American Feral. But, man, I would have loved to have seen those two hook up on the day. I think it would have been, you know, a race for the ages, but it didn't happen. But, you know, we're back at square one right now, and we've got to get through this race this afternoon and you know, and then we'll look towards the future. But we've got business to do.
Gary, she's now six, and from the outside looking in, it appears as if she continues to get better with age. Is that what you're feeling underneath you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't work her the other day. Janine Painter worked her, and it was sort of fun to watch. I'd gone through the paddock, and Art Sherman was there with Frank Taylor, and it was the day after Dortmund and California Chrome had put on the show. And I said, "What are you guys doing here?" And they just smiled, and I walked around to the front of the grandstand, went up in a box, and Richard and his wife and family were on the other side of the walking path at Del Mar, watching her work, and Frank and Art came up and sat with me, and we all had clocks on her, and her workmate was about five or six lengths in front of her, and she looked like she was in just the absolute 2 minute lick, and when she hit the eighth pole, she floated by her company, and Frank looked down at his watch, and I can't say the explicit of on the telephone that he used when he looked down at his clock. And then when she galloped out to the 7/8 pole, then Art let out his own explicit of. And I looked down at my watch, and I had 59 flat or something. I didn't know if I was right on or not. And Art said, "What'd you get?" And I said, 59. He showed me his watch, and he had 58-3, and it looked like she went 103. You know, it was that same kind of thing as the Pacific Classic last year. And I think the thing with her is, you know, she knows me, I know her, and it's almost when I think something in a millisecond during it, she's thinking the same thing. It's almost like she's reading my mind. I don't have to ask her to do much. She seems to know what I want and when I want it, and she's having fun doing it. So hopefully this continues on.
Is she one of those horses that just freaks at Del Mar? She loves Del Mar?
Well, you know, she loves Santa Anita as well. But when she gets down here, she lets down a notch, believe it or not. And I don't know whether it's the sea air or what, but she just settles in so nice. And Richard knows her routine. And she has her own round corral out here that they put her out in after training. Every morning she's out there for about 4 hours. And she'll lay down and sun herself, and she's got a big pile of hay, and she gets it and just puts it all over the round corral. Like, you know, that's her thing, is to get the hay spread out. She'll eat a little bit of it, but she lays down in it and rolls and just has a good time out there. And she has her routine, and it's like she's on her summer break down here, and she just thrives.
Talking with Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, Beholder going to the post in Saturday's Clement L. Hirsch at Del Mar. Gary, when you think about the top fillies that you've had the privilege to be aboard in your career, names like Silver Bullet Day and Serena's Song come to mind. Where does Beholder fit into that equation for you?
Well, let's not forget Winning Colors.
Yeah, her too. Yeah, she was pretty good too.
All she did was win a Kentucky Derby. But, I mean, I hate saying it, but I'm going to say it. And I've said it time, and I think she deserves it. Winning Colors, Beholder stands in her own paddock. I'm talking about Colts, Phillies, anything I've ridden. She's just different. I've never sat on anything like her. I never will. And I've ridden some great ones, but she stands in her own paddock.
Well, that sums it up perfectly. I mean, she certainly is amazing. And did you ever think she'd be running at six? I mean, that's unheard of these days.
You know, no, I didn't, and I don't think Richard did either. But we were talking earlier this year before the campaign started, and it's interesting to sit down and spend time with Dick, you know, and he said that all of the little setbacks that she's had, you know, from the time she was 2 years old have, along with the patient owner, patient management, and Richard being so conservative, have added to her longevity and soundness. And he said she's become, because of these little things and the breaks that she's had, forced breaks, it's allowed her to mature physically, get bigger, stronger, and stay sounder because of it. And, I mean, touch wood, anything can happen anytime, but she's different even than last year, and it's because of her strength. I mean, she's always had her own girth that I use. I've used the same girth since her three-year-old season on her. And the first time I rode her this year, walked out of the paddock, and the buckles on my undergirth were rubbing my ankle. And I'm like, that's not like Dick, you know, to leave these things down like this. And anyway, after the race, we were circling out in front of the winner's circle, and I went to let them down to give her a breath, and they, on both sides, they were in the last hole. And I said, hey, boss, I said, do I need to get some new girths? And he said, yeah, she's grown. So she's wearing 73-inch girths right now, which is unheard of. I mean, Point Given didn't wear girths that big. So
yeah,
that's crazy. She's grown again, and you know, she's thriving right now. She used to get nervous. I had to be careful in the post-parade of how much I warmed her up and really keep her calm, and now she goes out there and she enjoys the post parade. I mean, she takes it all in and likes to take her time warming up and look at her, you know, look at her competition. It's like she's surveying, you know, who she's going to get first and how she's going to do it. But you know, hopefully that's how she is this afternoon, and she's giving us all the right signals right now.
Well, Gary, let's take you on a little trip down memory lane, talking about this race, the Clement L. Hirsch, which, by the way, people might remember was named the Chula Vista before it became the Clement L. Hirsch. You won the race in 1993 with a filly by the name of Magical Maiden, who was, ironically enough, owned by Clement L.
Yes.
Hirsch. And
yes,
the filly that you beat that day by a head was a filly by the name of Veal Vin, who was trained by none other than our very own Jude Feld sitting right next to me here. So, I had to bring up this victory.
Well, oh boy,
it's funny. Yeah, Magical Maiden, trained by the great Warren Studi, and as you said, owned by Clement Hirsch. She was an exceptionally good filly, cowbred filly, and I remember when I had ridden her as a 2-year-old, you know, the year before, and I'd worked her before the debutante. I was supposed to work a mile, and I came back to the barn, and I took an ass chewing from Mr. Studi like no other. And he said, I told you to let her work. I wanted a serious mile. So he had me take her back out the next morning and work her another mile. And she went a mile in like 139, and I'm thinking, I just stuck a fork in her. And it was a week before the Del Mar debutante, when the Del Mar debutante was two turns. What'd she do? She went out and won it. And, you know, she went on and had a great career, and she became a pretty good broodmare as well. But she was a good filly, a really good filly.
Yeah, she was a good filly. And I walked into Tommy Robbins after the race, and I gave him hell because he assigned my filly 111 pounds. And you'll remember she won that race 2 years previous. And the only jock I could get was Sal Gonzalez. And Sal, in his defense, rode a very, very good race and almost beat you. Got beat a head flying at the finish. But I told Robbins, I said, you know, if I could have had, you know, a few extra pounds on that filly, I could have won the race. I could have got a jock that could do the weight. He goes, that's the first time a trainer's ever cussed me out for giving him too light a weight.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that was a tough one. You beat me one other time in Louisiana in the Golden Harvest, Shoemaker's first victory as a trainer. You came up on the inside and nailed me by a nose that day, going a mile
Fire
three eighths
groom.
On the turn. Fire the Groom, one of the greats of all time. As a matter of fact, I posted a tweet the other day, and your wife liked it, about the late great Christine Picave and that painting that she did of you and Fire the Groom, that was just unbelievable. You know, anybody that saw it, I'll never forget the first day I saw that painting. She had just painted your face. The horse wasn't mm-hmm. filled in yet. And I was at her door to pick up a gift that I had gotten somebody, that a print of one of hers. And, and your face was staring at me through the window, and I go, oh, my God, that is so good. I mean, it was just like looking at you. You know, she was unbelievable, and that's one of the great paintings of all time, great horse paintings of all time, I think.
Yeah, and she was a great race mare. She won the Beverly D honor and went to France and rode her in the Prix de l'Opera, and that was the first time that I'd ridden it at Longchamp, and I finished fourth and probably should have won the race. I'd been warned so many times about the false straight at Longchamp. You'd want to wait. Well, I waited too long. came with the run, but no, I had a lot of fun with Fire the Groom, and I believe that when I won on Fire the Groom in Louisiana, that was the first graded stake race that Shu had won after his accident, and so it was a pretty special day for us that day.
It's Hall of Famer Gary Stevens joining us yesterday and talking about Beholder, talking about some great moments in his career. JT, that's about going to do it for us here this morning from Saratoga, at least for the morning. We're back, as we mentioned, 4 o'clock Eastern. Coverage of the Jim Dandy, the A.G. Vanderbilt, all in English and in Spanish. Check out more at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's going to be a great afternoon.
All right, and of course, tomorrow you got the Haskell here on the network for Eastern with Acacia and Anthony. Visit horseracingradio.net for a podcast of this show. Interviews that we did here this morning with all of our guests who made it possible. Our thanks to them, and can't wait to get back here later today.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right, make sure you tune in later today, 4 o'clock Eastern. And our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studio, to my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site. For Jude, I'm Mike. We'll talk to you next time on HRN. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.